Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, September 13th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Leonard Peltier speaks to pipeline resistance camp from prison. Lincoln County Labor puts labor negotiations with county employees out in the open. Moscow Committee rejects liquor license for the Perch, and Moscow moves towards establishing a stormwater utility. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Lincoln County commissioners in eastern Washington have voted to require negotiations with county employees be open to the public. Commission Board Chair Rob Kaufman told the Spokesman Review from the county seat of Davenport, "Whenever you're talking about the spending of public money, that has to be done out in the open." Lincoln County is the only county in Washington to have such a system at this time. The legislature exempted collective bargaining sessions from the Washington Open Public Meetings Act in 2004. Washington Federation of State Employees spokesperson Tim Welch defends the secret negotiations, saying there's accountability built into the system because the full union votes on proposed agreements after bargaining teams reach a deal. The deal is also reviewed by the Washington Office of Financial Management and, in the case of state workers, approved or rejected by the legislature. Welch said the taxpayers and the elected officials have the final say. Republican state senators in Olympia have introduced bills in recent years to subject public employee collective bargaining sessions to Open Meetings Act regulations and the Public Records Act, but none of the bills have gotten past the Senate committee level. Republican Senator Michael Baumgartner of Spokane told the paper closed collective bargaining is an advantage for Democratic Governor Jay Inslee. Baumgartner says Inslee received big campaign contributions from the state's largest unions. He said, "You have the governor's biggest backers, essentially the people putting him into office, working with him while he negotiates their salaries." Across the state line, Idaho lawmakers passed a law last year requiring collective bargaining by all governing bodies be carried out in open meetings. The Idaho law says all documentation exchanged between the parties during negotiations, including all offers, counteroffers, and meeting minutes, shall be subject to public writings disclosure laws. The law applies to negotiations with public employees working for the state, cities, counties, and fire districts. Among others, the legislature had already required negotiations with school boards to be conducted in open meetings. The law applying to school boards passed in 2011. Latah County commissioners are expected to sign a $259,000 contract tomorrow with Quality Construction of Deary to pave 2.5 miles of the Latah Trail southeast of Troy in Little Bear Creek Canyon. The paving of the gravel trail is expected to be completed by October 21st. Money for the paving comes from grants, including money raised for the project by the Latah Trail Foundation. The Latah Trail Foundation, in turn, received $30,000 from the Inland Northwest Community Foundation for the project. Commissioner Tom Lamar credited the Latah Trail Foundation for their generosity in funding the county-owned trail and said if the foundation raises another $50,000, the county could pave another half mile of the trail. In June, the National Marine Fisheries Service ruled the project would have an insignificant impact on fish in the West Fork of the Little Bear Creek. A group of Latah County residents had filed a legal complaint against the Federal Highway Administration for allowing the project to move forward in steelhead habitat without consultation under the Federal Endangered Species Act. The Snake River Basin population of steelhead was classified as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 1997. The Latah County Department of Motor Vehicles and Driver's Licensing Offices were closed today and will be closed tomorrow as the offices move to their new address at 200 South Almond Street in Moscow. The offices will open at the new location Thursday. Latah County purchased the Almond Street building for $500,000 last year to house various county offices, including the DMV and driver's licensing. Two new wildfires are burning on both sides of the Columbia River near Grand Coulee. According to Grant County Sheriff's Department spokesperson Kyle Foreman, one of the blazes is half a mile from the Grand Coulee Dam. The fire, which began Sunday afternoon, had burned 500 acres by Sunday night. The other fire is 5 miles north of the Coulee Dam near Elmer City in Okanagan County. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee yesterday recommended the city approve a $120,000 master services agreement with the firm Cardno GS of Yakima to start the process of creating a stormwater utility. City engineer Kevin Lilly explained the need for the work by Cardno GS to the committee at yesterday afternoon's meeting.
As you know, we have the EPA is proposing to designate the city as a regulated small municipal separate storm sewer system. And under that program, we're going to need to require a large amount of stormwater improvements and regulations and activities that we may or may not already do now. But most importantly, we need to develop a stormwater utility in order to fund those things that are going to be required. So we put out an RFQ back in March, and from that process we selected Cardno GS Incorporated from Yakima. There was only one other respondent, that was FCS from Redmond, Washington. Took us quite a bit of back and forth to negotiate an agreement that we could afford with the existing budget. And what we've done is take the first seven of about 13 tasks and roll those into this agreement that you have today. So what this issue is to approve the master services agreement and the task order one for this work, which you had in your packet, the agreement with the list of tasks.
Moscow City Engineer Kevin Lilly, Cardno GS, will be expected to assess the city's current stormwater system, review city staff's creation of an initial prioritized capital improvement plan documenting the city's needs and associated costs, establish a preliminary equivalent billing unit, analyze the stormwater program's revenue needs, and analyze potential stormwater utility rate structures. In all, the company will be expected to complete 7 out of 13 tasks associated with creating a stormwater utility. The Environmental Protection Agency expects the city to implement stormwater regulations and complete other tasks before it gives the city a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System 2 permit. At yesterday's meeting, Lilly indicated the work to complete the 13 tasks was split approximately in half because of budget restrictions. The city is expected to approve another professional services agreement next year to complete the rest of the tasks. City Councilmember Walter Steed had some concerns that the proposed contract with Cardno GS had some lump sum contract language, while other parts of the contract indicated fee for services. City Attorney Rod Hall said he would take a look at the apparent contradictions, and if he makes changes to the proposed contract, he will call them out before it goes to the full council for approval next week. The Public Works Committee put the proposed master services agreement on the regular agenda for the next city council meeting. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday decided not to forward a request from the Perch to the full City Council to allow them to get a state liquor license to sell beer and wine for on-premises consumption. During 2014 and again in 2015, then Perch operator Paramjit Singh requested the council grant a waiver of the state rule that prohibits sale of beer or wine for on-premises consumption within 300 feet of a church. The state requires city council approval of any waiver of that rule, but the last two times the city council declined to grant one. The perch is located at 509 University Avenue within the University of Idaho campus and is less than 300 feet away from the Latter-day Saints Institute at 902 South Deacon Street. LDS Institute officials have strenuously opposed the sale of alcohol at the perch for on-premise consumption, citing unruly behavior and harassing comments made by perch customers during a previous time when the perch did allow on-premises consumption. They said they're also concerned about vandalism. Last year, city council members said they would be willing to rehear the request in a year's time. Yesterday, LDS Institute Director Kip Jenkins and University of Idaho Dean of Students Blaine Eccles both called on the council to deny the perch's liquor license request.
Please let that stand. No open drinks. I can't take any more property damage. And it just is too easy access. Let the perch specialize in restaurant and sell all the soft drinks they can, because I've never had any damage with somebody drinking too much Coca-Cola. But I have damage resulting in thousands of dollars every single year because of ease of alcohol access.
The university feels very strong that increasing the flow of alcohol to our students is very problematic and concerning for a campus population that we grant first-year on-living to the surrounding residences that surround on all sides with the exception of the front of the perch. We require all first-year students to live on campus. The target population for this facility is the campus population. They've had very aggressive drink specials in the past that target our students in particular, referring to have a break from your finals studying. They sell tubs of alcohol to students, 32 ounces in mass. They've done price promotions, $2.50 for a tub of alcohol. That's very concerning. This is a campus population where the majority of our students are first year. They're under age of 21. The flow of alcohol inhibits their ability to be successful. It is not conducive to a successful learning environment for our students.
That was University of Idaho Dean of Students Blaine Eccles, preceded by LDS Institute Director Kip Jenkins, speaking to the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday. All three committee members said they were against forwarding the perch's request to the full City Council. Here's City Council member Jim Boland in an exchange with perch operator Farouk Naz.
This is the second time that I've been through this discussion, and I've heard a lot of the same people myself, and I've made myself a customer at the perch from time to time to see how things have progressed, and I really haven't seen any progress that it's becoming a restaurant where it's becoming a place where people go to eat and then have an occasional beer. I think it's still trying to be a bar in a zone that where it's not allowed, and for that reason I'm going to have to say that I'm going to have to oppose the exception to the rule as well.
So I guess since all of us are of like mind on that, I think we're going to have to say we're not going to forward this to council, and I would still say see what you can do about making the place a restaurant, and if it becomes that, bring it back to us.
We'll certainly consider it again, but at this time, I think things have not changed enough to make me want to change my way of thinking on it.
Hi, my name is Farouk, and I'm running the perch, and I'm there every day. And the people come, and they wanted to sit down and eat and have a drink, and the only reason they don't sit down and eat because they cannot drink. That's the only reason. But I'm doing very good on the food side, and this is becoming a very good restaurant and very famous food. But the only reason the people don't sit here just because they cannot drink. If you can allow just the drink with the food, if you consider that, so I don't know. Because the only reason first, as soon as they walk in, they ask me that if I can, we can drink it here. I say no, so they just left. They go to the downtown and all those places, and the kids, and they go far, far away just to drink. Nothing stopped the kids from drinking. They're still having fun. They're still doing it, but they just want it to be close to home so they can walk safely. That's all they want. But the only reason the people don't sit here, because they cannot drink here with the food. Otherwise, the food is doing really good. It's like more than 50% doing the food, a very famous food, everybody enjoying it. And that's the only reason. It doesn't seem like restaurant because they cannot drink with the food.
It would seem to me that, there are a number of restaurants that serve a lot of food that don't have any alcohol, and they seem to be able to exist as a restaurant independently of that. And I think if you got to that point where you were that sort of establishment, then we would be more likely to consider that.
That was Moscow City Councilmember Jim Boland speaking at yesterday's administrative committee meeting. You also heard from Perch operator Farouk Naz in that clip. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. A driver left an off-ramp on Interstate 5 in Seattle's University District yesterday and drove into a tent at a small homeless encampment, killing a 19-year-old man inside the tent. The Washington State Patrol says the driver, identified as 33-year-old Oscar Gutierrez de Jesus, ran away on foot and was arrested for vehicular homicide. The deceased was identified as Walter Burton. The homeless encampment is one of a number that have sprung up around the city as rising rents and lack of services have created a 19% increase in the number of homeless in Seattle in the last year, according to the one-night homeless census conducted in January. Seattle police have conducted 441 sweeps of illegal homeless encampments since last November, with those who don't move out losing their possessions or finding them in difficult-to-access city storage facilities. The Pullman City Council tonight will consider a resolution approving a 6-year transit development plan for the years 2016 through 2021. The council will also consider a motion to ratify the 2016 through 2018 labor agreement with the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1015. The Pullman Council will also consider a motion to authorize financial participation in the Palouse Basin Water Summit. This year's Water Summit will be held Wednesday, October 5th from 4:30 to 8 p.m. at the Schweitzer Events Center in Pullman, and the keynote speaker will be Council of Canadians Chair Maude Barlow, who is co-founder of Blue Planet Project, an international group promoting the human right to water. Tonight's Pullman City Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Radio Free Moscow Board Chair Alan Chittister has sent another dispatch from the resistance camp on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. Chittister wrote yesterday, "Been here at Red Warrior Camp since Thursday. A very good experience. These folks are so right about what they are doing and how they are doing it. Heard that the construction workers checked out of the hotels and left because they are not getting paid. The camp is strong and full of incredible love and acceptance for all people. There are some imposters here, but that is usual when government wants to mess with people. The real ones outshine the false ones. The camp will be occupied until at least January 1st. It is on land controlled by the Army Corps of Engineers, just on the northern border of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Today I helped with a call in interview with Leonard Peltier, who has been in prison 40 years. That from a dispatch from Radio Free Moscow Board Chair Alan Chittister at the Pipeline Resistance Camp on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. Thousands of people from more than 100 tribes are at the camp resisting the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline between the Bakken oil fields of western North Dakota and a suburb of Chicago. Yesterday was political prisoner Leonard Peltier's 72nd birthday. Here's some of his comments from prison recorded at the Standing Rock Resistance Camp yesterday.
I'm sitting here in Coleman 1, talking to you on the phone, and today is my birthday. I'm 72 years old, and
I now have 60 years in prison with good time, over 20 years good time, got 41 years in prison, and with good time I got over 60 years credit to time served. And I'm waiting on that clemency, see what happens with the clemency, and I appreciate everybody's help and support. So, thank you very much. As you guys know that, you know, back in the day there, we weren't out there just out to raise hell for no reason whatsoever. You know, we were on the verge of being terminated. Two reservations had already been terminated, and they were going to terminate. Everything was supposed to be completed by 1984. We weren't going to have no more nations. We weren't going to have no more reservations. So we stood up for that. We stood up against that. My generation stood up against. My father's generation stood up against that, because that law was passed in 1953 under Dwight Eisenhower. The first ones to be terminated were the Menominees, then the Klamath Falls. They came to Turtle Mountains, where my dad is from. My mother's Dakota. My father's Anishinaabe. And of course, I got French blood. But Turtle Mountains was visited in second. And my dad and his generation stopped it. They said, they stood up to it. They said, no, you ain't coming over here taking what we got left, and you know, just take it away from us, not without a fight. And so they moved on to Klamath Falls, and they terminated that reservation and devastated those people, just like they did the Menominees. Well, I went yesterday for another CAT scan. They're monitoring my aneurysm. It's a tumor with in my chest, and they're monitoring it. It's 5 centimeters long and 4.5 wide, and they're waiting until it gets 5 wide before they operate. And every 6 months they monitor me. They put me on a CAT scan. And otherwise, you know, I got all these old man illnesses, and you know, sometimes it's pretty rough. It's not easy being in prison at this age.
That was Leonard Peltier speaking yesterday from prison to the thousands of tribal members gathered at the Standing Rock Resistance Camp in the path of the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight, taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There is a freeze warning in effect. Areas of frost after 3 a.m. and before 9 a.m. tomorrow, otherwise clear, low 33, and sunny tomorrow, high 74. Clear skies through Saturday with a low of 36 Wednesday night, a high of 77 Thursday, 80 on Friday, 83 on Saturday. Lows will be around 50 Thursday and Friday night, 52 Saturday night, and a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon Sunday, mostly sunny, otherwise high 75 that day. It'll be partly cloudy Saturday night. Currently, fair skies, 67 degrees at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. There's a freeze warning in effect starting at 11 p.m. tonight for the Columbia Basin, Northern Panhandle, Idaho Palouse, Central Panhandle Mountains, the Northeastern Mountains and the Okanagan Highlands. The freeze warning will be in effect from 11 p.m. till 8 a.m. tomorrow. Temperatures will be in the upper 20s and lower 30s throughout the region, and temperatures at or below freezing will likely cause damage to gardens and other sensitive vegetation overnight if not properly protected. Expect the coldest temperatures after 4 a.m. under clear skies and light winds. Coming up next, we have our weekly documentary from Making Contact. That'll be followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at around 6:43 p.m. And at 7:30, music begins with the Tuesday Night Grab Bag. Music, entertainment, information, all here at KRFP Moscow Pullman. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and art programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.